second verse. Bible says, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up to a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. Jesus then lifted up his eyes, saw a great company coming to him. He said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for thee, for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. When they were filled, when they didn't have a desire to eat anymore, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Amos, the 3rd chapter, the 12th verse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amos, the 3rd chapter, in the 12th verse, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion 2 legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria, in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch. Just 2 legs or a piece of an ear left, but the shepherd will take it out of the mouth of the enemy and will do something with it. I want to preach tonight on this subject. God always gathers what is left over. God always gathers the leftovers. Hallelujah. If you would, lay your Bibles down, Elder, would you bless the word of the Lord right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Thanks for standing in reverence of the word. With the crowd still all around him, the Lord headed for the mountains which rise sharply to the eastern side of this lake. The multitudes were full of eager expectations, and they began to follow after him. The Bible says that a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did, of them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. I can see the Lord as he finds a suitable spot where the crowds could also find a place to sit down, and seating himself while the people gathered and settled around him. The Bible said that the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. 3 Passovers are mentioned in the book of John. This was the second one. the Lord went up to Jerusalem for the first one and the third, but on this one, he remained in Galilee. It is likely that the regular crowds who followed him may have been swelled on the occasion by the many pilgrims that were headed for Jerusalem to keep the feast that day. I could see the Lord as he's riding this crest of popularity in royal Galilee. And we learn from those parallel accounts in the other Gospels that they stayed all day listening to the teachings of the Lord. And Luke, it tells us that the day began to wear away in Luke 9 and 12. In Mark 6 and 35, it tells us that the day was now far spent. In Matthew, it lets us know that when it was evening. Here it was that the Lord has been teaching all day. And in Luke 9 and 12, it said, and when the day began to wear away, then came the 12. And they said unto the Lord, send the multitudes away, that they may go into the towns and the country round about, and lodge and get vigils, for we are here in a desert place. I don't know how fast I'm going to be able to go tonight with my voice. But hallelujah, I'm just going to let the Holy Ghost do the work tonight. Hallelujah. The 12 here urged the Lord to dismiss the crowds. Time was getting on. The disciples reminded the Lord of the time as if though the Lord couldn't tell time. Many times we try to help the Lord out. They reminded him that we're in a desert place, like he didn't realize where they were at. Doubtless the truth of the matter was, they were tired. They were hungry themselves. Their feast holiday had been ruined. I'm telling you, interruption will always happen when God starts being wanting you to be sensitive to reach somebody. It will never be convenient. It will never happen when you got nothing going on. But it will always be in an interruption. As for the teaching, they had heard the Lord teach these things many times. And now they must have been sick of the demanding crowds. The evening shadows were lifting and they had nowhere to get provisions. Many of these people had a long way to go. Besides, there were many women and children among them. And that just adds to the drama. I'll let the rest of y'all figure that one out. It all added up to a very good excuse to get rid of the people. That way, at least the disciples could look forward to a quiet evening with the Lord and a decent night's rest. So I can see here as they begin to suggest to the Lord that he sends the multitudes away to get something to eat. Very blunt, very practical advice, as if the Lord could not figure it out himself. Everybody is tired. Everybody is hungry. Some of these had run around the halfway around the lake to get to where the Lord was. The Lord himself had been teaching all day. He could hardly go all night long. So why not quit now while there's still sufficient daylight left for the people to go home? You see, we could have quit a little earlier than what we did last night. But there's some things that would have not have happened last night. We could have went home and actually patted ourselves on the back and said we had good church. We had already had a couple to get the Holy Ghost. We could have said we had a good move of God. But I'm telling you, do you want regular church or do you want a supernatural move of the Holy Ghost? The Bible said when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and he saw a great company coming to him, It was not just a multitude to the Lord. He saw men. He saw women. He saw boys. He saw girls. He saw individuals to love and to care for. Well, the disciples saw crowds. Jesus saw people. I guess something that's got into my spirit lately is over the last year that I would see people. I would see homeless people. I would see people that broken marriages. I would see people that just didn't seem to have it all together. And going from one job to the next and drugs and addictions. And you know what? It would come to me that these are the kind of people that Jesus would stop to talk to. These are the kind of people that he would sit down and eat with. These are the kind of people that he would reach out to and touch. And I feel good at where I'm going. Hallelujah. The Lord's heart went out in tenderness to the crowd, which the Bible tells us made up of 5,000 men besides women and children. Most scholars feel like it was at least 25,000 people there that day. The children are very tired. Yeah, if any of you have ever raised children before, when they get tired, they get very cranky. The disciples are impatient. If you've ever been around preachers that are hungry, they get very impatient. All were hungry, all were tired. Jesus doubtless is hungry, though he never performed a miracle to satisfy his own needs. But he looked at this situation as an ideal opportunity to put his disciples to the test. The Bible said that he said unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" He singled out Philip with this question. Philip came from the neighboring town of Bethesda. It would require a merchant of no small means with stock on hand sufficient to supply the needs of this multitude. I can see him, Philip. We're on your home territory here. You need to be hospitable. What are you going to do, Philip, to take care of this crowd and this multitude? The Bible said this, he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. So the Lord began to test Philip. John hastens the record, he already knew what he intended to do. But instead of referring the problem back to Jesus in simple faith, Philip began to do some mental arithmetic in view of the scope of the problem. 200 pennies worth of bread, Lord, is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. I can see the crowd, if you could get the picture in your mind, that we got a large crowd here, Brother Larry, but you got the disciples and Philip and the Lord having a conversation. The crowd's aware of this. Here it is. They're seeing the Lord and the disciples talk. They're eager and they're expecting to receive a miracle. They're waiting to see what God is going to do. How many times have people walked into our service looking at us, talking and arguing with the Lord, negotiating with God, and thinking, "I come for a miracle. I come to get my knees met. I'm waiting to see what God is going to do." This was a conservative estimate by Philip. A man would work all day for a penny in those days. The businessman among the disciples had done some simple mental arithmetic. They dismissed from their minds any thought of being any help to this large multitude. Where would they raise something like $10,000 just for 5,000? In today's equivalent, it was quite out of the question. Since a working man was content with a penny being as fair wage for a day's work, Philip estimated that it would take the best part of 2/3 of a laborer's annual wage to buy the bare minimum of what would be required. And that would by no means be enough to give everybody a satisfactory meal. The entire ideal of buying enough bread was ridiculous. They looked at the crowd, 5,000 men plus women and children. Their assessment of the demand was that it was impossible. All they had was 5 small pieces of bread and a couple of fish. It's crystal clear that it wasn't enough to go around for the disciples, much less for a hungry multitude. The Bible said one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here. I love Andrew because every time you find Andrew in the Bible, he's always bringing somebody to Jesus. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But they, what are they among so many? Andrew had spotted this little boy preparing to do something about his own hunger. He had come prepared. Doubtless, maybe his mother had given him permission to go and to hear Jesus teach that day. I could see his mom being like my mom would have been, packing a little lunch. When you get hungry, here's you a few fish and a few loaves of bread to eat. I could see Andrew as he approached him saying, look, son, would you consider sharing your lunch with Jesus? I could see that he praised the boy and this small provision along with him. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Here it was again, his arithmetic was done in the view of the smallness of the provision. Barley was the food of the poor. The loaves were actually small black barley wafers. The fish were the size of sardines. The meal was barely sufficient for one small hungry boy. It would have provided only a few mouthfuls for a hungry man. Here it is that the stage is set for a miracle. There's hungry people. There's thousands of them. There's men. There's women. There's children. But here it is that they got worried needs. But there's got to be a little boy that must be willing to give up his lunch or Jesus can't do the miracle. Here he is standing there, has to make a decision. He could have said, I'll give him 2 loaves and a fish. And I'll keep 3 loaves and a fish. But I'm telling you, the only way God can use you is when you're willing to give him all of the loaves and all of the fish. The only way God can fill you is when you empty yourself out. Then he can fill you back up. See, we got too many people that wonder why they can never get a foothold when they come to this altar. But it's because you never empty yourself out. You never empty yourself out. You come to God with reservations. You come to God bargaining with him. You come to God and already made decisions in your mind of what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. But if you come to this altar with no reservations and say, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. Whatever you desire, that's what I desire. Jesus said, make the man sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so you can imagine the mass confusion you could have had going on here. I'm glad the Lord liked organization. He set them down, and the Bible says in one passage, in groups of 50. And he set them down in groups. We're going to do this thing. If we're going to do it, boys, we're going to do it right. We're going to make sure we don't miss anybody. We're going to make sure we get to everybody that needs to be helped. Make them sit down by 50s in Luke 9 and 14. He brought instant order through the eager anticipation from the crowd. The people arranged themselves in 100 groups of 50, each with room for orderly distribution of the food when it came. There was to be no disorderable conduct, no pushing, no shoving, none of the selfish behavior of a mob. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples. I've often looked at this scripture. I do not believe that the Lord put into 5,000 people's hands, that he blessed it and break it, and then the Lord distributed it and put it in their hands. But I believe he put it into the disciples' hands. And then the disciples put it into their hands. The Lord ain't gonna let you stay on the sidelines and watch miracles all your life. There comes a point you gotta become a part of the miracle. There comes a point you gotta become a part of it. See, it's so easy to ride on the sidelines and be a spectator to the great things of God. For 9 plagues, the children of Israel. 9 plagues, the children of Israel sat there. And it didn't matter what they done in the land of Goshen. It didn't matter what they done. As long as they stood there, they were taken care of. But there come a 10th plague. That they better put some blood on the doorposts. What are you trying to say? There comes a time you can't shred on the fence anymore. There comes a time you got to get out into the miracle and become a part of the miracle. Every single miracle up to this point, the disciples have been bystanders and then watched the Lord do every one of the miracles. But he said, boys, this time, you're going to become a part of the miracle. You're going to become a part of the miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then came here the miracles. In the hands of Jesus, he takes these few loaves and fish, and it becomes a banquet. There was bread enough and to spare. Back and forth goes these disciples, their baskets full and overflowing. The provisions handed out. Coming back for more. I'm going to the next 50. I'm going to the next 50. I'm reaching the next 50. Back for more and more. The Lord had taken what was available into his hand. And he blessed the provision. And he began to multiply a meager supply into a great feast. Excuse me. The Bible said that when they were filled, when they didn't want any more, if they could have come by and said, do you want dessert? I couldn't eat another bite. I'm full. I'm stuffed. The Bible said that when they were filled, he said it to the disciples, you gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Here it is. Bread enough and despair. Everyone is full and more than full. And I can see the Lord as he sends the disciples through the seated ranks of the people to gather up the leftovers. Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remain over and above unto them that had eaten. I could see John, who was one of the 12, kept busy that day. He said, they gathered the fragments together and filled 12 baskets, stout wicker baskets, with the fragments of 5 barley loaves which remain over and above unto them that had eaten. the people were more concerned about five loaves and two fish. But Jesus was more concerned about the leftovers. How did you see the disciples coming back to him? Peter, maybe being in charge, and said, Lord, we done what you told us to do, Lord. I whipped these disciples into shape. I told them what to do, God. We done fed them all, God. Now it's time to go home, God. Everybody's full. Nobody's hungry anymore, God. Let's go. But I could see the Lord saying, Peter, you need to hold on for a minute. We're not quite done yet. You go back, Peter. You go back and you check that far corner over there on the outside of that hill. And you make sure there's one person that you hadn't missed. They may still be hungry. They still may be hurting. They still may be empty. You go, take this basket and reach them one more time. Take them and reach them one more time. I can see John coming back and saying, Lord, I done fed all my area. I done filled them all up. No, you make sure there's not an elderly person that you missed as you tried to reach each and every individual. Make sure there ain't a child there that you looked over. 11-year-old child that you looked over. They may still be hungry. You may be full, but they may still be hungry. I know these on the front row are full. I know these on the front row of 50 are full. But make sure there's not someone sitting off in the distance in the corner that has not eaten yet. Boys, you remember the parable I told you about the prodigal son? There may be another prodigal son sitting out there that you looked over that just came to themselves and they're hungry. They're hungry. They're saying, if I don't get something today, I can't make it another day. I can't go on another moment. You remember, boys, the day that y'all came back from getting meat, and I'm sitting on a well talking to a lady. You remember that? That I gave her life. I gave her a river that flowed out of her soul. There may be another lady just like that that's hungry. Go back one more time. Reach them one more time. Go to them one more time. Lord, but God, I've already asked them, God. I've already talked to them. They said they're full. They said they're not hungry. No, but they may be hungry this time. They may be hungry. I know you tried to reach them before. I know you invited them to church before. I know you witnessed them before. They weren't hungry, but they may be hungry. They may be hungry. They may be hungry. Boys, you remember when they brought the lady? They threw her down at my feet. She was caught in the act of adultery. And I said, you without sin, you cast the first stone. And the accuser struck the rocks. And they walked away. No, boys, you know, I didn't condone what she had been doing. But I let her know, you go and sin no more. She was hungry. She had been searching for things in her life to fulfill the boys that were in her life. You go back out there, there's another adulterer out there. There's another fornicator out there. There's another drug addict out there. There's another prostitute out there. There's a homosexual out there. You reach them. You touch them. You feed them. You may be full, but there's still people that are hungry. Boys, your world may be okay, but there's a lady, just like the lady with the issue of blood. She couldn't get through because of all the crowd, but she's pressing right now. You're ready to go home. You're ready to call it a day. But she said, I'm still hungry. I spent all I have, and I've got to have something. You go reach her one more time. There may be a lady out there, just like the lady that her daughter was vexed with the devil. Don't you remember, boys, when I told her you wanted me to send her away too? That was your answer to the problem then too. But she got a hold of my heart when she said even the dogs desire the crumbs that fall from the master's table. There's somebody that'll take your crumbs, Peter, that you're willing to scrape off in the garbage because you're full. You're standing there saying, I don't need a leftover box. I'll worry about the next meal when it gets here. But there's somebody standing there saying, if you don't want it, I'll take it. If you don't want it, if you don't take it for granted, give it to me. My family's hungry. I can see if he goes down with the disciples. Matthew, you wasn't what you always are right now. You was an old ruthless tax collector that people hated, that people despised. But Matthew, won't you go back out there and take that basket one more time and just see, Matthew, if there's another tax collector just like you that feels like they're worthless, that feels like they're an outcast, that feels like no one loves them. Matthew, won't you go out there and let them know that there still is a God that cares, that there still is a God that loves you, that there is a God that will feel you, that will touch your broken heart. Peter, won't you go see if there's some more fishermen out there? Luke, won't you go see if there's some people you was a physician, people that are hurting, people that need. And I can see if you go from one disciple to the next. You see, boys, what you didn't realize, you was more concerned about the loaves and the fishes. I was concerned about some leftovers, some has-beens. You thought your work was over when you got full. But there were 12 baskets for a reason. Because I've left every one of you one basket apiece. 12 disciples and 12 baskets. Don't ever think when you get full that it's over with. But if you will take your basket that God has given you, and go and reach this world that's still hungry. Go and reach this world that still need hope. I'm telling you, they're hungry. They're hurting. Me and Brother Johnson was talking just this week. It was the night that it happened, where he talked about meeting the lady at the gas station. And he talked about he had to go in and get the receipt because the machine didn't work. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I would have came in right behind him, that machine would have worked fine. Or somebody before. But I believe that was God. I've said it many of times, we pray for an open door when that is not the prayer that we should be praying. We should be praying that we recognize the doors that are already open. And we walk through them. It's been on my mind ever since I got to church tonight. I had ran out of the motel room and I took my church cards out of my suit coat from last night and laid them on the counter and forgot to pick them back up. I got into the elevator. And a man looked and he seen that we were dressed up and he said, "Are y'all part of a wedding party?" "No, sir, we're going to church." And I thought, man, where's my church guard at? Because that, I believe that was my door. That's all I needed to say, man, no, we're not going to a wedding party, but let me tell you where we are going. Let me tell you what happened last night. Let me tell you, people that came that were hungry, that left field. But you know what? It's not just for them. He gave me a basket. And I'm coming to let you know, if you're hungry, He'll fill you. If you're hungry, He'll fill you. See, you may be, brother, if you begin to play, you may feel like being in this place tonight. Feeling like you're no more than a leftover. That your life is nothing but pieces. But I'm telling you, God is desiring to gather up all the fragments of the remain. Because He said that nothing would be lost. In Amos 3 and 12, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, as a shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out, that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch." Sometimes it seems like people walk into our sanctuaries and it seems like all they got left is two legs and a piece of an ear. If you're waiting on the All-American family to come to Landmark, you might as well give up now. It ain't happening. Time, they don't have baggage. More times than not, there's going to be broken marriages. There's going to be addictions. But those are the kind of people. Yeah, he went to Simon's house. But the person that got his attention was a lady with a little alabaster box of oil that made her way to Jesus, fell down at his feet. He said, "Simon, you didn't give me any water, neither washed my feet. But here this lady has washed them continuously. She's kissed them. She's dried them with her hair. She's anointed me with oil. If you don't want it, if you're at the place that you're no longer hungry, there's somebody out there that still wants this message. Well, the meals, nobody wants to live it anymore. Oh, there's people out there that are saying, I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of being empty. I'm tired of hurting. I'm tired of the pain. And all I want is just to know that somebody still loves me. All I want is to know that someone still cares. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. All I want is to know that there really is a refuge. That there really is a soul tower. Let's stand. I feel like I've not done this message justice. Hallelujah. I cannot stand to preach while my voice is like this, but all I can do is just obey what I feel. The people were more concerned about the five loaves and the two fish. Jesus wanted to make sure that we take care of the leftovers. One of the most awesome services I think I've ever been part of in my life was last night. It was so powerful. It had nothing to do with me or any of us. It was God. I've never in my life seen just the flow of how strong it was. I remember it's a sister that got the Holy Ghost. And was sister right here that got the Holy Ghost last night. We were standing right back on about the second or the third row. And Brother Johnson had already came to me and said, "Brother, if you have to stair step them or whatever you got to do, just go lay hands on them." And I couldn't get to her. And anybody could have laid hands on her. It wasn't me. But it was so powerful in this place. Brother Thrasher, that I literally just stood right there and I pointed at her. And I said, "Speak in tongues right now." And she went to speaking in tongues. We've seen God do so many great things of our children, our babies being baptized, people being filled with the Holy Ghost. But if we leave this place and we say we're full, and it stays in these four walls, we've got full, but we didn't take home the leftovers. We didn't take home the leftovers. I've heard it preached all my life that we need to hold on to the fragments that remain, because there's going to come a time we're going to need it. No, there's going to come a time that somebody else is going to need it. This world is hurting, and if we don't reach them, what is their hope? What is their hope? How many people, Brother Patrick, have I walked by at a Walmart cashier that I'm in my busy life, and she says, "How you doing, sir?" "I'm doing fine. I'm playing on my phone. I'm sliding my debit card. I'm going to the next place." But all it would take is for me just to say, "Let me tell you about a church where you can get all your problems met. Let me tell you about a place where marriages can be put back together. Let me tell you about a place where your finances can be restored. Let me tell you about a place where your children can be brought back to God. There is a place. There is a strong power that the righteous can run into and be saved." That I go on out the door and she's waiting for the next person. She's reaching out. She's saying, "I'm hungry." I'll never forget. I'm fixing to close. Brother Johnson is, I heard this story many a times. Brother Don Johnson, he used to be in Memphis, Tennessee. Him and a preacher, he ended up writing a song about it. But him and a preacher were sitting in a restaurant, and there was a woman sitting off in the corner. She was crying. And the preacher looked at Brother Don Johnson and said, "Wonder what's wrong with her." And his response was, "She probably just needs somebody to take her by the hand." We're saying, "God, give us opportunities." And God's saying, "Open your eyes." Oh, open your eyes. You've seen the miracle. You've been a part of the miracle. But now, make sure somebody else is still. Somebody else is still not out there waiting, because they're hungry. I'm opening these altars up to every individual in this place, saying of God, you need to get your basket and you need to take it with you out of this place tonight. Backslider, you're not a has-been, but you can be made new tonight in God. Sinner person, this is your moment. You're hungry. This is where you can be filled. Call of a sudden, call of a sudden.